Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back. We're black. We're brown. And this young.
I was trying to hit you with the bass there.
Why are you coming in with the alto? Were you an alto or soprano?
Is alto high? That sounds like a high.
No, sopranos are the high ones. The altos are the are for women are the low ones.
I was never anything regarding vocal prowess. Mm. I was, however, first chair of clarinets in the concert band at Fayette High School in Fayetteville, Georgia. I'll have you know the concert band was the lesser band than the symphony band. So I was the best worst clarinet player.
Oh.
And I wore, you know what, first chair, I was like the bomb. You could not tell me anything about my clarinet skills.
It was like, what, are you crazy?
It's great being the captain of the bad clarinet players because the bar is so low and you're the best out of all of them. So honestly,
oh my God, I love
come
it.
At me. Like, it's like you set your expectations low and you end up happier, right?
Well, I sang in choir only because the school that I went to, especially the middle school that I went to, was like heavy on choir, which now I look back on it, that was odd. Like everyone sang in choir, whatever choir. I mean, I wasn't some great singer, but it was for fun.
Yeah.
And, but what I did join in high school was I joined the step team because I grew up in a largely Caucasian
I'm surprised they even had a step team based on what you've told me about your school.
What? It was, I think it had to be, maybe it was like sophomore year. There was a young brown sister named Sherelle that moved from Newark to Westfield. Shout out to you, Sherelle. So Sherelle brought with her all these wonderful black things. And we were like, ooh, what's that?
So she was she was like the first, because you know when expectations are low, like, you know, like you come to a new school where there aren't very many black kids and you're the black kid who knows how to do step. Yes. Then yes. You're like first chair of the step dancers. Like you might have been a mediocre step dancer. Yo, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
She was the coolest. We were like, Sherelle, teach us your black ways.
Yes.
Like the five black kids were like, teach us your black ways.
Yes.
So she brought step to us. And let's just say I was all the way in the back. I was so terrible, but I was determined. I said, oh, no, I'm going to be on the step
team. I need video.
I was terrible, but I will say it was a lot of fun. But yeah, so that was my horrible group participation. But it was, like I said, it was a lot of fun. Although she was like, girl, you have to go all the way in the back because you are off rhythm. How are you going to be African with no rhythm?
See, that's the thing. That's like, it's so, the stereotype works against you. It's the same thing with my husband and, well, bless his heart. He's not the best dancer. Like, he dances though. And it's hard for people out there. It's hard to find a partner who will like dance with you at the wedding or at the friend's event or whatever, you know. So he would try. But if a Latin song, if like a bachata comes on, a merengue, he's sitting his butt down real fast. And his younger brother can really dance, and so can his fiance. And anyway, he gets a lot of shit for not being like the best bachata dancer. And, you know, I'm sad for him because the expectations are too high. Meanwhile, I just swing my hips and they're like, oh, mira este mujerón. Like, they're like, yeah, look at that woman. Because, again, low expectations. We should just title this show.
Low expectations?
Yeah. I once had an idea for a book that every time I described it, it made me sound so sad. But, and every time I tried to explain the premise, people would look at me like, are you okay? Because my whole idea was, it was literally a book about how everyone would be happier if we just expected less from everything. Mm. Expected less from your partner you're going to find, expected less from the job that you have. And I think I still think that this is true. I believe science would back me up on this. When you have less expectations for what an outcome will be or lower expectations, then you end up being happier because you're grateful that anything happened. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
But that's just so against the American mindset around, and I'm not trying to get too philosophical, but I ended up just like stop talking about it because people would look at me like I was, you know, had four heads. What do you
like
mean?
Less. Maybe like less is less.
Satisfied with like less than excellence? What? Satisfied with like a partner who can't be, you know, all 75 different friends and family and sexual god and goddess that you need in your life? What? No. No one wants to like admit that.
Admit, you know? Yeah. That maybe they're not having like, you know, well, whatever. Because I'm just like,
that,
I'm
it not myself. That it won't get better than this. No one wants
yes.
to. See, even as I'm like, saying it, I'm like, right? This, we're, just like to, that we're brown ambition, okay. not brown. It's okay.
Yeah, brown so-so. But like,
come see, come back.
So I know last week we talked about hard conversations. So I had one today.
Ooh, okay.
Oh my gosh. When I tell you all day stressed, like thought about it, literally took a walk beforehand, took a nap, like stomach and bubble guts, sweating. And I'm like, Tiffany, really? All leading up to this conversation. And it went okay.
Tell us more. How long was this conversation coming? Did you ask for it? Had it been brewing for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Can you say specifics about what it was about?
Well, I'll say it's about money. I'll just leave it at that. That like, so yeah, it was about money, and it was just like I said. I told myself to kind of feel better. I was like, before the conversation, I was like, you know, Tiffany, I know your stomach's in knots. I know you feel like a little uncomfortable, but guess what, girl? You about to have this conversation, and that is done, girl.
That's done. That's my move.
Yeah, no, it's not done. I didn't anticipate that some hard conversations are actually hard conversations, plural.
Okay.
So it's not resolved. It wasn't some like no knockdown, drag out, like fight or anything like that, but it's just, it's not resolved. So more conversations to be had. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like that was the one thing I was leaning on.
Well, do you at least, so what was, do you think that it's leading to more conversations because the first conversation was so hard and like, well, yeah. So tell me more. Like what happened in the first conversation? And was it just that there was so much to unpack that you realized is it like the meeting that you think is going to be half an hour and then you end up, we really need to do 20 different things and we need to have some follow-up meetings to discuss and make sure we really cover our tracks well?
Yeah, this is actually the second of the conference. The first time it was only like 5 minutes because we didn't have much time. And I was like, oh, okay, we will reconvene and like talk about it next week and just like really like lean into it. So I was like, great. Even though the first time we talked about it, we were supposed to really talk about it, but we just didn't get a chance. So because it was like, you know, time was like running thin. And I'm like, damn it, I've been in knots all week to talk about it. And it's only like 5 minutes, literally like, hey, we really should talk about this thing.
Mm.
And I'm just like, but I, you know, because I had already saved up all the anxiety.
Yeah.
And so today I was like, no, we're plowing ahead. And I just was like, you know, plowing ahead, sharing how I felt. She was sharing how she felt. And like, and it wasn't, like I said, there was no yelling or anything. It was like super calm. But it was very clear that it was like, yep, we both agree that we don't agree. And I was like, wait, what? I'm not going to lie. I had not planned for that.
Oh,
I did not.
Yeah. So you expected to kind of like get what you wanted out of the conversation or to have them understand where you were coming from. But
yes.
Oh, well, this is just every fight my husband and I have ever had. So yeah, continue.
So I thought that at the end she was going to be like, you know what? I see.
yeah. Tell me how right you were.
I was like, yeah, exactly. You know what? I didn't see what you meant at first, but now that you fully explain it, girl, yes, I agree. I don't know why. I just thought that's what it was. But it was more like, you know what? I hear you. Still don't agree, though.
And it was like, wait. That's the worst.
Yes. And I'm like, wait. So now we're going to have another conversation, but so I think we're going to bring in maybe like a neutral party to have a conversation with us.
Okay. Mediator. I have had to use a professional mediator. I mean, not a professional, but in my professional life, I have needed to bring in a third party to be there to witness the discussion, just as like, yes. Yeah, it's helpful. It's helpful.
Yeah, and I think so too. And I think that it's just, I just feel like lately in business that every time I solve an issue, because usually I've gotten much better at like managing the stress of what it comes to being like, you know, to running a business. So website's down. Okay. You know, we need a new hire quickly because, you know, XYZ is leaving or, you know, she's doesn't feel well. Okay. I've gotten so much better at managing the day-to-day putting out the fire component of business. And I'm like, I feel like, you know, I mean, I sleep well at night. I'm like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But lately, the fires are blue. You know, like usually fires are like, you know, like I think blue is like when the fire is hotter, right? Is that what it is? When it's like red and yellow.
I see what you're
yellow.
Saying. Yeah, the hottest part of the flame is the blue part.
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm like, wait, what? And it seems like, why am I putting out blue flames over and over and over again? And I'm not going to lie, it's taking like this like emotional toll that I'm not used to. That I used to feel like this in the very beginning of business when I didn't know how to manage anything, you know? So I was like, all the time. And now I'm like, oh, but you know, you're seasoned, Tiffany, you're 10 years in. So like I said, up until I would say maybe like 3 or 4 months ago, you know, I've been really good at like that kind of thing and at like managing. But now it's just different now. And I'm like, but one thing I've learned after 10 years of business and the part that sucks is like, I already know what's happening because I've been here so many times before. I know what's happening. And I'm like, oh, Frank. So something good is happening. Whenever I am growing to the next level, this always happens, that there is a period of heavy uncomfortableness where everything sucks and I want to quit.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's what's happening, but I'm still like, I want to quit. You know?
Yes.
Everything sucks. And so that's what's happening. So I know 100,000% that that's what's happening, but it doesn't make it easier. I'm just like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to.
You're going through hell. Keep going.
I know.
That's the chant that helps me sometimes.
I'm really blessed. I mean, thank God, you know, home is good. You know, my husband is good. My sisters are good. My parents are good. My friends are good. So all that's good. And honestly, the truth is business actually has literally never been better. So that's not it. It's just there isn't I'm growing. Like I know there's an emotional growth that's tied to like this external growth that I have to meet this like this external growth internally. And I'm not, you know, and I know that. I know it's like, well, Tiffany, you have to put on your big girl panties. Like you have been avoiding like growing this part of yourself for a long time. And it's time now. Mm. And I've been like, wait, one more year of being a punk, please. And like the external part of what's happening in my life, it's like, no, girl. No, we have allowed you for 40 years to navigate in this space of like internal smallness in this one area of your life. And literally you have to grow up in this one area. You have to boss up and you have to be like, okay, and you have to push through or you know, like there's no option. It's either this or you stay. Not even because I already know what's going to happen. If I don't push through, it's not that I'm going to be allowed to stay at this level. You actually move backwards. So, I mean, I know it. It's just, honestly, it freaking sucks. I hope, you know, I share this with y'all because I want you to know that like, even in success, there's, you know, there's strife. There's gut-wrenching moments. Even like, you know, literally nothing's wrong. We had our best month yet in business. But like, yeah, there are still aspects that I'm learning and growing and it freaking sucks. And I'm just like, but I'm like literally every year I used to tell myself that this is the year I was going to work on this part of myself, mm-hmm. this character challenge. I used to be like, ooh, this is the year, Tiffany, that we're going to work on like the hard conversations part of you. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to work on, I'm going to get Invisalign instead. A gym membership. Oh, that's what I'll do. Let's work on this booty. Or like, I'm going to be a better friend or I'm going to be a better auntie this year. So every year I kind of set like goals and like, this is always on the list. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to put this one to the side. So this is the year that like, it's forcing my hand. Like, girl, you are not going to be able to elevate to the next level. So like I just said, it's just like.
Have you ever read The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes?
No, but I heard it's good.
I thought you were going to say yes. Oh, it's so, no. You need to read it. It's actually a quick read, but okay. It's about how Shonda, who was incredibly insecure, and it's different because her insecurities and her shyness and her social anxiety stemmed in part from her weight issues. So she struggled with her weight. And anyway, and there was 1 year that she decided, because she was always the writer inside of her shell, like never went out, never said yes to any invitations in Hollywood, would just hide from any. And then she decided 1 year, like, okay, I'm done with this. And it wasn't like she had some big epiphany. It was like, it's like you're saying, it's just, you kind of get tired of having the same conversation with yourself. And you're like, you know what? Yeah. This is the year. I'm just going to say yes to everything. And it's, I really recommend it. I even recommend the audiobook because she reads it herself. I think I might have read listened to the audiobook version. But that's great. What I'll say, because I have the same internal dialogue, like I think a lot of us do, there's always that like personal flaw, like character flaw, or flaws, plural, that you have that aren't as easy to imagine. Like, they're not as clear-cut a path. Like, you want to fit into that bikini in 6 weeks, you know you need to eat less and work out more. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like with these, you know, character, like the internal things that we have that can hinder us or hold us back, like you've said, there's not as clear a path, and so it's harder. And it's also harder to measure success. And all I'll say is, like, I hope that you celebrate, even though it has led to more conversations, you should still, like, celebrate the win that you had the conversation you might not have had, and pat yourself on the back and acknowledge that it may not be, like, a clear linear path and to get to the point where you're able to, like, it may always be uncomfortable, and I think it probably will because you're a human being, uncomfortable to have tough conversations with people. But it's like, you know, how much time do you spend agonizing over it? Do you always get bubble gut? Okay, no, this time I didn't get the bubble gut. This time I wasn't in the bathroom for 4 hours. And like, give yourself a pat if you improve a little bit. This is just like the type of thing that I've worked on coming back from all the postpartum anxiety is, okay, if I fell asleep, you know, within 45 minutes last night instead of 4 hours, like, that's a win. And just mark those little wins, because it isn't as, it's just not as linear as some of the goals like you talked about before, you know, working out, et cetera.
No, that is really good advice. I didn't think about that. Like, the fact is, you had the conversation, Tiffany. That's bigger than most. Normally, I'd be like, I double booked. Hey, sis, can we talk? Oh, my God, I would be the master avoider. Like, sometimes Superman will ask me to, like, talk to Supergirl about something difficult. Like, maybe, like, you know, they got into, like, an argument. And he's like, can you talk to her? So, you know, because maybe they're arguing over, like, you know, her not cleaning her room and whatever. And she's getting sassy. And he's like, can you talk to her? And I'm looking at him like, to who? Like, I don't want to talk to a teenager. She's going to kill me. So I'm just, it literally permeates every aspect of my life. Like, it's like reached like a fever pitch. Like, it permeates every aspect of my life. I could be at the supermarket and be like, the person is standing too close behind me. And I'm like, you should really tell them 6 feet, please. And like inside, I'm like dying. I'm like, you should say, no, don't say nothing to her. You should say, no, leave them. Tiffany's not in that serious. You can get her corona and die, girl. It's just like, So it's, so I'm, I am gonna, but honestly, one thing I've learned from you, Mandy, like I absolutely need to get a therapist. I've been saying it for a long time anyway, because like, you know, like I'm typically decent at managing stress. Well, let me not say that, because who knows? If I don't even know if I'm decent, who knows what decent is?
Right.
But you know, I don't think typically a lot of things bring me stress like they used to. So I was kind of like, oh, I'm good, but I realized no, I would really love tools and resources to manage, like, you know, stress, and also tools and resources, because that's what I was asking myself. I'm like, I actually don't have the tools and resources to navigate this, because I grew up in a household, like, my parents are really strict. And so it was like, you have to be like, walk the straight and narrow or else. And so I know that a lot of the anxiety comes from, well, what's or else mean? Tiffany, like, you have to be like in the straight and narrow or else. And that's the fear that I carry around with me, is this fear of the or else. And even though I'm an adult now, it's like, well, Tiffany, you can't get cut off. You know, you're not nine. You're not going to get a spanking, you know, but I still carry that or else fear along with me. And I'm just like, I want to be able to let that go. But I know that if you can't build a house that you want without the proper tools. And I know it's like, okay, it's past time. It's time to get the proper tool. So I'm actually looking forward to that, because I'm like, you know, because I used to go to therapy when I was in college, because I was like so overwhelmed, and it was really, really, really helpful. But I have not gone, honestly, since, even though I've said that you know, I've wanted to. It's just been, I haven't put the effort in, not because I'm opposed to therapy. I'm like, next time. So I just think that, I have to make it as important as the other things in my life to like find a therapist, you know, and I have like great insurance. So I know that it would be covered. So I'm like, girl.
Ooh, the therapist who takes insurance, like a magical unicorn.
But they don't take insurance?
That's part of the problem is like, and this is how I found my therapist. I found this great prenatal yoga studio that actually is like a wellness business that focuses on like post and prenatal massage therapy, and they have like new mom trainings, and we did all of our like infant CPR classes there. So it's more than just yoga, and they refer people to experts in the field. Like they have like they endorse certain experts. So they endorse these three or four different prenatal therapists who really specialize with new moms or moms who are dealing with anxiety. But I called all of them and none of them took my insurance. But I got referred from them to someone who did take my insurance, and I kept interviewing. So it's almost, it does take work. You have to start calling. Okay. Do you take this insurance? No. Do you know someone who does? Cool. And then you have to kind of keep calling. And it took me maybe a couple weeks to finally land on the therapist I eventually got. And it's been great. And a friend of mine had a baby just a few weeks ago, and she had been dealing with a lot of anxiety prior to the birth because of the COVID situation. And that has continued to plague her. Just being a new mom's already stressful enough. And I was like, listen, I'm happy. I'll ask my therapist if she knows anybody near you who's doing. And this is a good time too, because part of the struggle finding a good therapist is, you know, they often want to see you in person, but with what's going on with COVID, all of them, especially in New York, where places are shut down, you have to meet virtually. So you may be able to, see someone maybe who's not. And the commute won't be a factor, you know? But, you know, you did that. You found that financial planner and you.
I was just thinking about it. I was like,
that was a whole process.
What? It was a 2-week process. Yeah. I interviewed like 13 people. Yeah. I was just thinking. I was like, girl, if you could put that much effort into finding your financial planner. And like literally I had like a spreadsheet and I like this one and this and this. I did all this pre-work of what I needed. And I mean, it was probably like a month's worth of work to find. And it was very overwhelming, but I knew that at the end I was going to find the right person. And I did. Anjali is amazing. And I was like, well, Tiffany, like literally when you said that, I was like, girl, if you can put the effort into finding your financial plan, you can certainly put the effort into finding the right therapy. Because I think it just would just be so helpful. And my poor friends could stop hearing me talk about the same thing. Because when I'm stressed about something, I will tell you over and over. I'm like, hey, friend. Yeah, so that thing. They're like, oh, that thing that we talked about yesterday? Here, one more again. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. No, this is honest. But I was talking to you, man. He's always like, I always feel like, in some of the spaces, I'm like, you have like one foot in the door of like, yeah, been there, done that, working it out. This is what I found, bringing it back to Tiff. So I always appreciate that.
Just sharing what I've learned. I mean, and it's always what I struggle with is what I'm talking to you about, which is giving myself grace and giving myself a break on the path toward improvement, you know, like, and adjusting my own expectations for what that success looks like. So, it's everything I've ever tried to achieve, like weight loss. I've always had a bit up and down with my weight, and I'll be like, I'm going to lose 40 pounds by, 3 months from now, which is not realistic. And it's the same thing with the postpartum anxiety. It was, I'm going to fix this. This is a problem I'm going to solve now. And I'm going to talk to it. And no, I mean, I had to start. The work for my postpartum anxiety started back in August when I started to see my therapist. And I was like, okay, so I have you. I'm feeling anxious. So we can fix this week, right? And she's like, no, we have to start the journey, you know. And I had to be patient with myself because I, you know, you want like quick results. And I have to celebrate. And I was just talking to the psychiatrist I see because I take a prescription medication to help. And talking to her, she also wanted to know, like, what are the small, like, what are the improvements that you've seen? And by talking through the improvement, no, I'm not perfect, whatever that idea is. I'm not 100%, you know, obviously I never will be 100% because I have a baby now, so I'm a different kind of person. But, you know, I could measure, and I could see by talking it through, oh, I have made, you know, big strides, and I am doing a lot better, and I should, like, celebrate that and not be so stressed that I'm not like my own idea of over it or you know, better, whatever those vague words are.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, yeah. Like over and better. You're like, I should be better. I should be, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Because this is like, the kids are always going to stress you out, and work is always going to be stressful for you. You run a business. Like, this is going to happen again and again, and it's about, does it get a little bit easier each time? Do you have the tools next time so that maybe it's not five conversations, you know, it's four instead of, you know what I mean? Anyway, and I think it's also helpful just to talk things out, and I hope that – so when's the next conversation? And you already got the mediator in place, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So okay. I don't have a date for the next conversation yet, but it's probably in about a week. I'm just waiting for the mediator to just to confirm like that she's like, yep, you know, we're all good to go, and then I'll schedule a time. That I'm actually looking forward to, but because I'm like, okay, it'll be somebody else there to help navigate the things that I want to say, but also too somebody else to help me navigate hearing and listening. Mm. You know, so I mean, but like, I feel like there was a little bit of movement made today with her. So I was like, oh, okay, she is listening and she sees that there's something. And there was definitely a little bit of give of like, see what you're saying, don't fully agree, but maybe there's some compromise. So there was definitely she was definitely like, there's some compromise that we can make here.
Yeah.
And so like, so at least that it wasn't like, absolutely not, which would have been like, you know, well, what do we do now? It was like, yeah, that there's some compromises that I can see being made here. So yeah, growth.
You on your growth, you're on your growth shit, you know, can I say that?
Yeah. You used to curse. Remember back in the day, you used to be like, guys, I curse.
Used to.
And then you stopped.
I still, you mean on the show?
Yeah, you did. Remember? You were like, yeah, I'm going to be, you know, cursing every once in a while, a little potty mouth here and there. But then you just was like, nah.
I don't know if you listen to the show, Tiffany. Like, yes, I do. Ask our editor.
You still curse?
It's just who I am. I don't think about it. My mom always had a potty mouth, and it's just like, whatever. I always look at that study that said that people who curse are smarter or like handle things better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway, but the day that Rio starts mimicking what I say, that's when I'll have to tighten it up. Yeah. But I'm really just like letting it all hang out now.
And you'd be surprised, like, cause like Superman is a cursor, like just for no reason, discernible reason. And I remember when I first met him, and I remember looking at his daughter at the time, she was like 5 or 6. She didn't curse. And I'm like, well, how come you have potty mouth? Like, you know, he's not a cursor, like an angry cursor. It's just like, you know, like you might say, hey, Superman, what's up today? You know, shit. That's just, you know what I mean? Like,
wait, I'm the opposite of that.
And I'm like,
angry? Right? Well, happy cursor. Interesting.
So, like, he's just,
Just
like
some shit.
Yeah,
just some like, bullshit. You know, shit. You know, just hanging out.
And so I was actually really shocked that she, like, Supergirl didn't curse. I was like, well, how come she doesn't curse and you curse? And he was like, oh, she knows better. I'm like, yeah, but I don't, how does that work out? I don't even know how he managed that. Like to this day, at least not here. I'm sure she's a teenager now, so I'm sure she's potty mouthing it up with her friends. But
I thought God
at least
would,
in adult company,
I thought God would punish me if I cursed when I was little. I don't know who taught me that. The TV? I don't know. But when I found out that I wasn't going to get smited or hit with a lightning bolt, it just all... It all happened.
Not the smite. Not the smite.
The smite. Hey, real quick, I wanted to catch you up on my dad's situation because I know I talked about him losing his job, and he lives in Georgia, and my brother and I kind of tag teaming to figure out his unemployment benefits. And for a lot of people in different states, like my dad, like it's taken weeks for him to get his first unemployment check. He finally got it. And then he had to wait an additional couple of weeks to get that extra $600 stimulus, like unemployment check. And I just wanted to let people know, like, if you've been waiting on it, I would say one thing that helped is that we went to the Department of Labor's Facebook page. And honestly, there was more there's more information from their social media team on their Facebook page than there was on the actual website or trying to call.
Okay.
And it was one of those things where you think you're doing all the things and you're calling and you're like stressing. And my brother and I were talking about it. And like, I would be on social trying to like, piece together an explanation from different comments that the social media person had left, and then all of a sudden it just showed up in his bank account one day. Mm. And I'm like, it probably would have showed up without us stressing about it, but of course you want to think you can control things. But it's good finally that he's getting his unemployment benefits, And his job, he works for the transit authority in Atlanta, has asked him to come back, but like at limited hours. And he's decided not to do it because they're not like it just would still be unsafe. He's getting passengers on a bus, you know, just isn't. And he's got pre-existing conditions and all that. But just wanted to acknowledge that there's still people out there who's struggling. And, you know, if you haven't gotten your benefits or you have questions, you know, you always can send us a note at brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. And maybe we can help point you to some resources, if anything, in your state. But let us know if you're struggling or if you need anything. I'd love to hear how you guys are coping with, you know, everything that's going on.
Yeah, that would be great. Because my dad called me yesterday. He's like, I have not gotten my money.
Oh, is he waiting on the, what's he waiting on? The stimulus? Wait, the stimulus, so the one-time, like, payment?
$1,200.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, my dad, I forget if he got that or not. So, yeah, what happened was unemployment benefits, you're eligible for, like, if you lost your job, you'd be eligible for unemployment benefits. Okay. On top of that, they added an additional $600 through the end of July for workers out of work. That's what the CARES Act provided. And then separate from that, there was a $1,200 stimulus check that you got based on your income, which is like a separate thing. And it's left to be determined if they're going to be extending this or doing it again. I mean,
yeah.
A girlfriend of mine texted me today to let me know that her job said they will not be reopening until September, the day after Labor Day or the week after Labor Day at the earliest. And she works in New York City. Yeah. So I just feel like summer 2020 is just like canceled.
What?
It's just gone.
You know, the kids, like, so Governor Murphy, the governor of my state, just posted on IG either yesterday or today just saying, hey, so school's closed for the rest of the school year. So these babies ain't going back. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah, Jersey, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. Like, Supergirl, I guess we'll get her some tutor. I mean, she's been...
Does that mean no more virtual... They're still doing e-learning, right? Or does it mean, like, that stuff? Okay. So the school's happening, but it's not going back.
Exactly. But still, it's so light. So the way it works, at least for Supergirl in her school, is that every morning at 8 a.m., she gets classwork, schoolwork, and she has to complete it by 8 p.m. But then at 2:45 to like 3:45 or like an hour to 2 hours, she has to log into Zoom for a lesson. But I'm like... You usually are in school all day, so how are you getting all that you need with like this, like 1 or 2 hours worth of visual lesson, and then, you know, like just like here's some work to do? I don't know. So, and meanwhile, she's going to ninth grade, so that's the big worry because she's headed to high school. So it's like, is she going to be ready? I mean, we're fortunate in that, you know, obviously we can pay for a tutor and things to make sure she's good. Because here in Newark, you have to place into the high school that you want. You have to take a test. Mm. And she got into a really good high school. So, you know, we want to, and it's very competitive and it's not going to be easy. Although she's been a good student, but still for the, you know, second or the last quarter of your eighth grade year, not to have like this like traditional instruction. And then we'll see what happens in September to go to school, to high school at that. So there's some worry there. I think about other parents who might not be able to afford tutoring. What do they do, you know?
Well, at least there's comfort in knowing that your kid's not the only kid who's behind. Like,
yeah.
And you hope that, our cousin is a high school principal in Manhattan, and she's talked about, they are having conversations around, do you, especially with younger kids, like, do you hold them back a little bit so that they're not so far behind? Or do you plan to catch up on stuff at the beginning of the year to acknowledge like what they might have missed at the end of the year? And I hope that, you know, the hope the school systems will figure out a way to not make it so that kids like Supergirl come into school feeling they're so far behind. Like they can adjust the course a little bit so that they can catch up if, you know, they need to at all. Man, yeah, it's hard enough with the baby, but like having kids in school, bless all of you guys with the children who can ask questions and need to be entertained.
I know.
Speaking of questions, should we take a quick break and then come back and see what we got going on?
We sure should.
All righty. Uh,
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Okay, y'all. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. Not only your questions, but your fun little I forget her name. She sent us a message on Insta saying, remember last week I told you we were talking about guilty pleasures and I mentioned the show that I'm watching on Netflix. I'm testing you, Tiff. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it is?
You know, I have the memory of an 80-year-old girl. I don't remember.
It's what real weird. Casketeers on Netflix. Oh, that's Netflix. Right.
And if I'm at another country where it's like this Polynesian.
Yes. Oh, girl. I felt you digging and you struggled. Yeah. So it's a fabulous show on Netflix about a family who runs a funeral home in New Zealand. They're Polynesian. Anyway. One of our listeners was like, I squealed when you mentioned the Casketeers. I love that show. And I'm just so glad that there's another weirdo out there who listens to our show. So thank you to you, whose name I don't remember. And again, people have been commenting. I've been posting more than usual, just like day to day. I'm trying to like document life in quarantine, parenting in quarantine. Part of me just doesn't want to forget. It's almost like I'm imagining like telling grandchildren are like wanting to remember this time in our history. And so I'm trying to document more of it. And Brown Ambition listeners who usually just message us on our BA account have found my personal one and it's been helping me to hear from y'all when I post like my parenting foibles or, you know, the working from home with the baby stuff. And it helps me to know that you guys are out there and that, that you're liking when I share that stuff. I'm happy to make a fool of myself.
I love it. Benefits. And I love how Rio just be looking at the camera like, what? Yeah. He's so adorable with that hair. He's cute. And his little, these cheeks. I'm like, oh, God knew exactly what he was doing, making baby so cute. Because you're like, you know what? If he wasn't so cute.
Right? God help an ugly baby, because like, well, I'm just kidding. Oh. I'm just kidding. We all know a lot. Listen, Enrique has this coffee cup with Rio's baby, his newborn picture on it. And I'm looking at it like, he was a lot cuter in my memory. Like, love is blind. But let me pop into these questions real quick. Again, y'all can hit us up on the gram or Brown Ambition Podcast on Instagram. You can also find us if you just want to email us directly. It's brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Our first question, I've lost the Google Doc. Come to me. Our first question comes from a listener who just wants to be referred to as D. She says, I'm a huge fan of the show. I listen while working every week. I'm wondering, since federal student loan payments have been waived until the end of September, thanks to Congress's stimulus package, the CARES Act, what do you guys think I should do with the money that would normally go toward my student loan each month? Right now, my student loan balance is $27,000. Fortunately, I'm still employed full time. Mm. Right now, I'm using half of my stimulus funds. So she's gotten that $1,200 check we talked about to pay off credit card debt. I have a car note and a personal loan and about $2,000 saved in an emergency fund. Issue is she doesn't tell us how much she's saving with her student loan payment, but like for our own purposes, let's just imagine it's a few hundred dollars. If her, you know, if her balance is $27,000, I can imagine it's a few hundred dollars a month. That she's wondering what should she do with it. Any thoughts here?
Yes, only because I suspect that her life, does she say where she lives?
She does not disclose her location. Nope.
So I suspect that her life cost her more than $2,000 a month because that's how much she has in savings, right? Her emergency savings.
Yes.
So my concern is during times like this, I cannot preach this enough to being having a strong cash position, savings. Normally, you know, me and Mandy are like, no debt, no way, way. But during times that look like what's shaping up to be a recession, I really want you to have enough savings. Although I'm glad that your job is still intact, there's no job is guaranteed. One, sickness can happen. Two, anything can happen during times like these. So I would much rather, if it was me, even though I would normally say, well, girl, put it towards your student loan debt because right now it's going to go totally toward the principal. But now I'm like, no, put it in an online-only savings account. Go to Magnify Money. Find one that gives the highest interest rate and has an A rating. And that's what I would say. I would put my money there because I want you to have, you know, at least a few months of expenses, of your most essential expenses saved, just to be on the safe side in case something should happen down the line while we're still in these like down economic times.
Yeah. And she mentions a couple of other loans that she has. She has a personal loan and a car note. So I mean, I agree with Tiffany, like I would beef up that emergency fund. But if you're, you know, if your car note and your personal loan, if you could maybe put a little bit of that extra money toward those debts to pay them off, especially that personal loan, you know, that could be a good use of the money. But and at the same time, maybe put part of it away for your savings to beef it up. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, but that's and I'm glad it's like that's the point of them making it so that you don't have to make your federal student loan payments for the next how many months is it till September? 75 or 4? I can't think. It seems like forever away. It's to give you guys some extra wiggle room and yeah, to be saving it and using it to pay down debt is exactly, you know, the right way of going about it.
Yeah.
All right, Dee, thank you for your question. We have like some one syllable questions today. This one comes from a listener who wants to go by Lo. Lo says, I love the show. I have reached my emergency savings goal of $20,000 recently, and I decided I don't want to invest more than I already am into my 401k during these turbulent times. So I started looking into money market accounts. Could you tell me what are some of the pros and cons of putting your money in a money market account? Thank you, Lo. Oh, Lo.
Oh, I know. Low.
What's
low? Your money's going to stay on the low if you don't invest.
Yeah. Well, money markets are like, first of all, there's nothing special about money market accounts. They're basically a savings account that you have check writing abilities and it's not. And maybe you get a debit card, but then why not just get a checking account? And I mean, I haven't checked the rates recently, but they're really not great. Either they're worse than or they're just as good as a regular ass savings account.
Yep.
So there's really not a benefit to a money market account. And when it comes to not wanting to invest, so let's unpack that. So you've reached your emergency savings goal of 20K. That's fabulous.
And awesome.
I mean, that sounds significant. That sounds great. And now you're looking at, okay, so the market is down. I have a 401k. Should I be putting extra money that I would have been putting in my emergency savings into the market? Or should I be more conservative and put it into a deposit account, such as a money market fund? I know it seems counterintuitive, but we talked about this before, and again, we're not investing experts. We just share, you know, the knowledge that we have from our own experience. I try and think of this time as like a clearance sale. And I try and think of a clearance sale on stocks. So stocks are largely down, although they have, if you look at your 401k, like I did recently, my 401k is not almost back to where it was, but it's on the way back. It's pretty, it's definitely on its way back. And it's only been a few months. I try and think now is the time when you want to be investing if you are hopeful about the future, if you have a long time horizon. If you're especially like if you're someone in your 30s or 40s right now or younger, you certainly have several decades ahead of you to weather not just this economic crisis, but maybe a couple more. And I personally increased my 401k contribution. And it did feel a little counterintuitive, but it really makes sense because the money that you invest now, you'll be able to get more for it than you would have normally. And then when the market does bounce back, those investments will grow and you should be better off in the end than if you didn't invest anything.
Yeah.
That's the hope. Of course, nothing's certain. But as a recession baby myself, who started to save a 401k right after the recession hit. I'm so grateful that I did. And I think we will, you just have to look at what history has shown us, which is that the market will recover. This is also a very different recession. This is a self-inflicted recession. We will reopen the economy. It may take a while, but already the market has started to go up. And I think I definitely maybe put it in an online savings account if you really just want some security, or a CD like we've talked about before, but there's no point in a money market, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, I want, and this is low, right? So low, I get it, because I'm totally you, where I'm like, investing, scary. But to Mandy's point, if you've got 10 or more years, and you should look at investing as a long-term activity. So there's something called dollar cost averaging. So this is what I suggest, this is what I'm leaning into. So dollar cost averaging is when, if you're an investor, you have money to invest, you divide up, let's just say you have, you know, $1,000, that you don't put $1,000 into the market today. Then instead you say, huh, you know what? I'm going to divide $1,000 times 10 months, and I'm going to put $100 into the market the first of every month. And as the market goes up and down and up and down, into the market could mean your retirement account. It could mean opening up a target date fund or a mutual fund or investing in indexes. But if you do that, if you consistently put money away for investing, this is dollars cost averaging, it means that there'll be some days that you put money in and your money goes down, and there'll be some days you put money in and your money goes up, and the ups and downs will average out to a basic return. So that's what I would lean into, that I'm assuming that if you're putting money, if you reach your $20,000, that you didn't reach the $20,000 in one lump sum, that let's just say you were saving $500 a month, you know, and you're like, okay, I don't need any more additional savings. So I would be putting that $500 a month consistently. And you will see over the next 10 years or so that, you know, yes, there'll be sometimes your money has gone down and sometimes it's gone way up, but it will average out to an up over time. That is what the market teaches us. And so you actually lose money. Like, don't be like me. I was such a hoarder of cash. Like, I can only imagine in the last 10 years how much money I actually lost by saving so much in cash. I mean, I had so much saved in cash. The house I'm sitting in now, I bought with cash. You should not have that much saved. Like, I should not have had that much saved. And I knew it was my fear, even though, like, my brain was like, Tiffany, you don't need this much saved. This is crazy. But my heart was like, I'm scared. I don't want to put it. I don't want to lose it. So I ended up, like I said, buying a house cash, which is honestly, that's great and all. But, you know, I lost out in the long run by not giving my money a chance to grow. And so that's what I want for you. So do your Googles, dollar cost averaging, which just basically means that you just put money in. Basically, it's almost like drip marketing. You just drip investing. You just drip your money in consistently over time, and then you will see consistently over time that the good times and the bad times will weigh out to decent times over time.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And with 20K in the bank, I mean, if you want someone to help, a financial planner can help you decide, like, especially my financial planner, she helped me strategize. I didn't start saving, like, putting everything into the market, into stocks. We were, like, a little bit conservative. So for shorter-term goals, we opened a couple of CDs, and then we put extra money into our IRA. Like, there's different levels, you know, but money markets, again, like, you might as well just put money into that savings account. It'll do just as well, if not better, than a money market. While we're on the subject, we had a similar question from a listener, essentially wanting to know, okay, so if now is a good time to invest, how do I start? And this is from a listener. What did she want to be? Remain anonymous. Where did it go? I swiped on my phone. Oh, here we go. Let's see. From Instagram. Let's just call her Tutu, because I see that in her Insta name and I don't know how to pronounce the rest of it.
I love
it. She's saying, is now a good time to invest? I want to take advantage of the discounted prices that you guys talk about on the show. And by discount, she means, like, when I say clearance sale. But there is a lot of information overload in the books I'm reading, and it's hard to know when you're really truly ready to jump in and when you're a novice investor. Thanks, and I'd like to remain anonymous. Well, it's okay because I didn't use your real name.
Yes.
So similar. So, okay. So people like her who, you know, oh, they want to jump in. It's like trying to jump in during a game of double dutch. Like you're trying to like.
I was going to say.
Were you? It's like, yes. Cinderella lost her fellow. Okay. Anyway.
And you could just, I could just see you rocking back and forth. You're like, oh, wait. Okay.
Yeah. Just jump. But jump into like, you know, jump in with your toe. Like, well, anyway, I've been talking a lot. Tiff, what would you say to this?
This is what I would say. I would say look into index funds. So now is not the time to be like, ooh, I'm gonna start picking stocks. Because you're not gonna know. And even if you happen to luckily pick a stock that goes up, like let's just say like Beyond Meat did really great today, right? And you pick a stock, you're like, woohoo. But if you haven't followed like, well, what made Beyond Meat a good stock? You know, what are their profits versus their debt? Are, you know, are they using their cash effectively? Like who's running the company? So to understand why a stock actually went up, it's like buying a house without getting an inspection. Like, why is this house a good house? So then I wouldn't be purchasing individual stocks unless you are going to like take a course and learn more about how to properly do so. If you don't know how to do anything else, you can invest in an index. So you can invest in an index almost like as a stock that's called an ETF. I don't remember some of the symbols like BOO. There's some symbols where you can literally just Google ETF index funds. And so an index fund is just like the S&P 500, the Dow. What's some other indexes? I always think the S&P 500,
the S&P is kind of like when you're opening up an index fund, this is most likely the index that it'll track against. And mm-hmm. you can start with anything like, and I think even for a novice, it's almost like where to open an account at. You can open an account at Vanguard, at Fidelity, yes. at your bank might have an investing platform. Like there's a bunch of like low cost brokerage accounts out there. Open up an individual IRA account. An IRA account or like a brokerage account, which are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I can post a helpful article on this too. I know you said you're overloaded by reading, but you want to understand yes. a little bit the type of account that you're getting. Once you're in there, if you really just want hands off, you can do like a target date fund, which is a type yes. of mutual fund that tracks it. You pick the target date fund that matches when you think you'll retire, and then it just invests for you. I have a target date fund in my 401k. It's worked out beautifully for me. I don't have to think about it, and it's just grown because it's very heavily invested in stocks now, and it will get more conservative as I get older.
The closer to target date.
Yeah. Yes. That being said, like I was talking to my cousin yesterday, Anna Banana, who I love. She's how old is she now? Like too old to be called Anna Banana, but whatever. 21, 22. And she's been she has been playing around with some investing apps like Acorns and Stash, and there are these robo advisors that can also be like an entryway into investing. And it's kind of the same thing. They help you invest in index funds, like diversified mm-hmm. mutual funds, which is, you know, they kind of take the guesswork out of it for you. So it's almost a question of would you rather pick the brokerage account you want and do the work of setting up your account through them, which takes a little bit of research, or you can use a robo-advisor, which takes even less of the guesswork out of the whole investing thing just to get your feet wet. I mean, those are so I think we talked about Acorns before. What am I forgetting? Like
Acorns, there's that's not really that. Well, I guess Betterment, Wealthfront. Yeah. And you look like when it comes to index funds, at a Vanguard or a Charles Schwab or Fidelity, they usually almost all of them have something called a total market fund. Meaning basically you're buying like a slice of what the market is doing. So as the market goes up, your money goes up. As the market goes down, your money goes down. And over time, the market goes up. Over time. And so if you don't know how to do anything else, like, yeah, getting your, like investing in an index fund and looking at a total market fund, and that's the most set it and forget it that you can get, and know that in a 10-year span, the likelihood is your money is going to grow without any interference from you. Like if you're wanting to learn about stocks and this and that, then do that. But, you know, not now. I don't think it's almost like, you know, you're learning how to fly the plane on your way up. It's like, now's not the time. Now's the time to figure out how to autopilot. And then, you know, when you're safely on the ground, take your flight lessons. Like, don't take flight lessons like the day of your first flight, because you're guaranteed to lose money that way, I think, anyway.
Yeah, and I also think, like, anyone who's thinking about starting to invest, I just say just do it the easiest way possible, just so that, like, get a small win now rather than wait to be an expert. You're reading books. I think that's – you don't even have to read all those books, to be honest. And reading those books, you're kind of like – you could just open a target date fund and just start putting like $500 a month or however much you can afford into that target date fund. And then you can do additional research, like Tiff said, and learn how to do more nuanced investing, or maybe buy some individual stocks if you have money to play around with. But for now, it's just like, just start now. If you're just getting a new job and you're opening up your first 401k, this is great because you're, again, the money that you're contributing now. If you contribute $100 to your 401k today when stocks are lower than they were a year ago, that $100 can buy you more, right? So if those stocks that you buy end up increasing in value, well, you've got a bigger return on your investment because you bought low. You can't plan for this kind of thing, but I would say if you have, like we said before, if you have time on your side and you can handle a little bit of risk now, and again, we're not investment experts. We're just, I'm just someone who's opened a 401k after the last recession and saw great things happen. I would say, yes, just start and don't overthink it, which people, especially women, we like to feel like we understand something entirely before we jump in. And you could just set yourself up, you know, to miss out on potential returns by, you know, waiting until you are an expert to dive in.
Exactly. 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 As my sister's husband would say, exactly.
Oh, it's been a while since you brought that old chestnut out. Exactly.
All right, y'all. Well, so it's time for boost or breaks.
Boost or
you're going to boost. You're going to break. You're going to boost the break. So, yeah, you're going to boost it. You're going to break. I'm gonna let you go first.
Oh, you're gonna let me go first. Thank you. I could tell. I can always tell on how you deliver it whether or not I'm gonna go first or I'm gonna go second. I'm gonna do a boost for my sister and my brother and for myself for letting them help me, because in my pandemic parenting lifestyle right now, I usually am always leading the charge for like group gifts for our mom, group gifts for the dad, for the birthday, like for Father's Day, Mother's Day, that kind of stuff. I just don't have the brain power or bandwidth. I thought Mother's Day was 2 weeks from now, okay? It's come, and listen, and if you're listening to this Wednesday morning, it is this Sunday. Like, I should know this. I'm actually a mom this year. Anyway, but thank God for my sister, because she arranged flowers. Oh, my mom didn't listen to the show. She arranged flowers for my mom. And I had it, part of my identity is sort of like wrapped up in being the one who takes care of shit in the siblings group, you know? And I've just had to let it go and let my brother and sister step up. And it was the same story around my mother's birthday last month when we wanted to compile all these video messages from all of her loved ones across the country, friends she hasn't seen since college and, you know, from her early working days. And I was like, I'm going to edit it and I'm going to collect all the video snippets. No. Very quickly, I learned I needed to ask them for help. And anyway, it's a small thing, but if you guys can ask for help from siblings, I've and it's brought us so much closer together that I've like been open to having them help more. And I love them so, so much. And I feel so blessed to have them here to help me keep it together. And I just don't know where. I just don't know where I'd be right now without my brother and my sister. And I just wanted to boost that, boost family, boost the help, and boost me for asking for it, which we all know I have struggled to do in the past. And that's why I have my mommy wrist, and my wrist is in a brace, because I literally didn't ask for help with the baby for a very long time, and now I'm paying for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I'm going to – wait, did I talk about OWN last week?
OWN, like the OWN network?
Yeah.
No. What about it?
Okay. Perfect. So I will boost it. Yo, I literally have the worst memory. I'm like, wait, did I talk about it? So I am going to do a boost because, so now that the press release is out, I can finally share. Because I said an NDA, I'm like, can I share? So a few weeks ago, this production company that we all know, we've seen this production company's name flash across the screen many and many times, reached out and said, huh, interest in doing this show or being a guest on a show with Ayanla Van Zandt. And I was like, what?
With who?
And so Ayanla Van Zandt.
Should I know who that is?
So Miss Fix Your Life.
Should I know who that is?
You never say, oh my gosh, I need you to do your Googles. Ayanla Van Zandt, she's she is one of the proteges of Oprah. I'm sure she'd be like, girl, I'm not her protege. But it's like, so that's how sassy she is. So it's Ayanla. Like, you know how, like, so Oprah, these are like her main people that she's kind of like brought on board, right? So it's like Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz,
Rachel Ray, Ayanna, we weren't here for Dr. Phil or Oz anymore.
No, we're not. But I'm just saying that, like, this is like, you know how like Oprah brought these people
Yes. She's given them her, she's given them her shine.
Ayanna Banzan is one of them. I can't believe you never heard of Fix Your Life. That's like huge, because it's like everybody has jokes about it. Anyway.
Sorry, but, so, it's me, not you.
That's okay. No, it's fine. So,
you didn't know about the Casketeers, but I forgave you.
I sure did it. And I was like, although I wouldn't say that's the same. So,
okay, fine.
So they reached out and was like, oh, we'd love to have you on the show. You know, so I did like kind of like a pre-interview. They're like, oh my gosh, we love you. So it's just so funny how
they always love you. All you need to do is get on the phone with them. They're gonna love you.
And I'm always like, oh, I don't know. And it's just funny about how you plant seeds sometimes years in advance. So the big producer was like, oh my God, years ago I took your literature challenge and it totally helped me. And then the young producer, shout out to Jessica. She was like, oh my God, when your name came up, I was like, we have to use her. And I'm like, I know you. She was like, you were my instructor at the WEAN Academy. So the WEAN Academy, I can't remember what WEAN stands for. It's like Women in Entertainment. So every year I volunteer and I teach this free financial class for these young women who are between the ages typically like 16 to like 20 something. And they fly into New York and attend like a weekend long like academy. And it's really awesome. And it's all sisters and brown girls. And, you know, and I just thought to myself, wow, what a full circle moment that, like, had I not been doing that year after year, who knows if they would have even thought of me? Because I asked, how'd you find me? She's like, girl, you know, you came and you taught and you were so awesome and you were so giving. And I'm like, oh, wow. So anyway, they reach out. We'd like to have you on the show. And I'm thinking like, oh, okay, I'll be on this. It's a limited series, docu-series with Ayanna talking about fear. And of course, I'm going to talk about financial fear. Didn't think anything of it until the press release comes out. And it says, new show on OWN Network, docu-series. Special guests include Oprah Winfrey. I was like, wait, what? R&B legend, BB Winans. I said, okay, what? And financial educator, Tiffany the Budgetista Alice. That's what it said.
You,
it's in Variety on Deadline.
Are in a sentence.
Yes.
In a sentence, and your name follows Oprah. What? You're on your way to being on her tour, the next Oprah OWN tour.
Mm-hmm. That's my friend.
I would
now.
Like backstage passes. Backstage passes.
So,
congrats. So I get this is a BFD. BFD.
Yes. Yes.
Get it a girl.
Is. And I just, like, you know, like at first I was already excited before, but I didn't know that Oprah was also going to be a guest on the show. So it's just things like that. You're like, wow. But you think about the, you know, like what you sow, you know, what you reap, you truly have sown. And I think to myself, like, I remember when I first did the first literature challenge, everyone said basically I was dumb because I was giving it away for free. But I'm like, no, people really need help. There has to be something. I mean, I speak and I have books now. And so the challenges were my way to say, if you don't have any money, I can give you a full-fledged course, like, which is totally free. And it's like year six and all of them are still completely free. There's been no gotcha. I did one with Magnify Money and Mandy was my special guest every week. So like that was the credit one, which is like one of my favorite ones. And so you just think about things like that people tell you are like not the right move or take or don't give. And you think to yourself, had I not given these two instances, maybe they wouldn't have thought of me, you know? And who knows when once it airs, it's supposed to air. Well, it's supposed to begin airing. I don't know when my component airs, but begins airing May 16th, 2020.
Did you already tape
2020.
It? Maybe. Oh, so you must have. Oh, well, this is a quick turnaround. That's know, dope. Did you tape it from home? Was this pre-pandemic?
Mm-hmm. No, I taped it from home. They sent me like the equipment to set up.
This is exciting.
I know.
Oh, girl, I'm glad I got cable for once in my life.
I don't, which I'm like, damn it, am I going to have to get cable for this? So I think I could. Someone said you can get like 7 free days of like,
you can
know,
get
like
a free trial, to watch your OWN special. Make sure you time it right.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, wait a minute. When am I going to come on? So yeah, it was just like one of those like full circle moments of like, you know, reaping what you sow. And I don't know. It just felt good to just, you know, I actually have to call my mom and tell her because, you know, she has to let all the aunties know. all the aunties know. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want her to hear from them first. And she'd be like, they told me, how come you didn't? I wasn't prepared. So yeah, that's my big boost. And you know, the ups and downs in entrepreneurship. You have those days you're like, yeah, and other days you're like, and sometimes it's in the same day. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely something that I'm excited about. I am a little nervous because I felt like I was nervous. I don't know how well I did, honestly. Sometimes I can gauge. I will say that, you know.
You're in the press release.
Yeah, I know. But that doesn't mean I did good. I don't know. We don't see. We'll all be seeing together. So if it's terrible, that's my biggest worry, is I'll do this whole big thing where I'm like, ooh, watch party. And then it'll be like, ooh.
But listen, you will always have done the best. Yana, what's her name?
Yana.
You will always have done the best interview with Yanla as you ever had done, because it's the first one. You know what I mean? Low expectations, Tiffany. We talked about this. Set them low to the flow. I personally should have boosted the fact that when I got that Molly Moore book in the mail, and it's just so exciting because, like, every friend, I've got a few friends who've written books, and every time I get it, I just feel like in some small part I was there when this was just an idea, and it was just like, and it's one of those things that you've been talking about for years on the podcast, mm-hmm. and it's just so good to feel it in my hands. and I was so excited, and Rio loved the pictures, and the illustrations are beautiful, and it's such little book. I do want to know what kind of friends Molly Moore has who are getting her 5 bikes and 4 phones and 12 dogs and like,
it's all for counting purposes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I know. So right? Congrats. Like, Molly is lit. Oh, thank you.
Congrats. It's so happy. It's on my shelf. And I just feel blessed to know people who are out there just creating such little treasures like this. And we're super excited. Congrats.
Thank you. I was like, oh, Rio's trying to eat the book. That's a good sign.
Everything he loves, he tries to consume. That is the stage we are at. Indeed. Alrighty. Well, thank you for another great show, Missy.
Yes, thank you. This was a long one, but I think a longie, but a goodie.
This show was brought to you by Rio's Nap. Thank you, Rio Francisco, for being one of our sponsors today.
Yes.
All right. Well, we will catch y'all next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.